It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 8th day of August, 2022, 8-8. Oh, dear. Does anyone know where your local Nazi is? They probably have a real high time on this day. Best not to think about it. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Moran Monday on the horn. A new broadcast week beginneth. We are full to bursting with Morans, and we will get to them presently. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks, deep and abiding thanks, go out to our 8th, 7th, and 6th day of the month subscribers via PayPal. Thank you to Dwayne, and thank you to Marcia. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Susan. Thank you so very much, James, and thank you as well to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to Michael in Madison. Thank you, John. Thank you all so very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep all of this on the air, this independent, liberal, progressive broadcast effort that has created damn near 20 years worth of conversation from soup to nuts. So thank you. And thank you to Ellen. Thank you, Ellen. And thank you to Tamara. Hi, Tamara. Thank you so much. Thank you to Brandon and Colette. Thank you to our buddy Dave in Kentucky Stan. Thank you all for helping keep all of this going, sincerely. So where we are, the fundraising goal sits at $630, and hopefully we will knock some of that out, preferably all of that out. There's a breathtakingly humongous, terrifying, they all are, bill waiting, and we'll just see how that goes this evening. Hopefully not a goose egg. And we'll just see, we'll see how it plays out. Just one sec. Now, okay, yeah. Like I said, it's Moran Monday. Some sad news to, you know, Olivia Newton-John. Wow. But what a woman. Battling breast cancer for 30 years and never giving up. Passed away today at, I think, 73. Out at her ranch in California. I know everybody thinks of her in terms of Greece, but for me, it was Xanadu. playing one of the muses. I thought my heart was going to break, you know, because kid. And the Tubes and ELO on that soundtrack. Oh, my goodness gracious. So anyway, another great passes. And she was, make no mistake, great. And I saw the news earlier today. But there was other breaking news earlier today that was much more uplifting, at least for most people. Ahmaud Arbery's killers were convicted today on civil rights violations in federal court. Two of them got life plus 10, and another got 35 years. It remains to be seen if it will be, if there will be a compounding injustice if the federal government moves to take them into federal custody. Ahmaud Arbery's family is protesting that idea and wants them to serve all of their sentences in the Georgia penal system, because it is a much harsher, or it is, I mean, prison's prison, but it's deemed to be much harsher. And everything I read today said, indicated that there hasn't been no, there's been no movement on that. And I hope there isn't. I trust the Arbery family to know what will give them the greatest sense of justice. His killers are certainly not deserving of mercy, for God knows they had none to show. The quality of mercy is not strained. It falleth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the just and the unjust. But sometimes on the unjust, it seems like we would prefer that the gentle rain be more like anvils. But I mean that way. To set the record straight, Billable Rick says, I never got to see Olivia Newton-John in concert, although I wish I had. R.I.P., sweet Olivia. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize she was the granddaughter of a Nobel laureate. I think in physics, Max Born was her grandfather. Interesting piece of trivia. And so, going from there, well, for Moran Monday, yeah. I don't think we've ever started out by saying, well, this program begins in the toilet. But it does, this one. Axios had an exclusive today that went back to the New York Times reporting of months back. While in office, the former president blithely flouted the Presidential Records Act, which required him to preserve written communications concerning his official duties. Trump routinely tore up documents and, after leaving office, brought substantial written materials back to Mar-a-Lardass. A Trump spokesman didn't respond to a request for comment about the plumbing matter. Yeah, shame on anybody who writes something like this. Trump poo-pooed the report at the time. Well, of course, that's beautiful. Well, the thing is, here's the thing. Maggie Haberman got hold of photographs that someone in the White House had taken of the aforementioned, some of the aforementioned documents sitting in the bottom of the potty. I know I'm not supposed to bring up potty stuff, but sometimes it's, well, it's unavoidable. And here we are. Maggie Haberman said, Mr. Trump was discarding documents this way, was not widely known within the West Wing, but some aides were aware of the habit, which he engaged in repeatedly. It was an extension of Trump's term-long habit of ripping up documents that were supposed to be preserved under the Presidential Records Act. And there's no mistaking them. Nitwit Neera said, they're obviously fake. No. Because at the bottom of the potty, you can see the shredded up pieces of paper in Sharpie scrawl in his little tiny handed hand. And two words immediately legible, Rogers and Stefanik. Of course, that's a reference to Elise Stupidnik, the New York congresswoman who tried to ride to fame and glory and hopes to be reelected on her undying devotion to Nitwit Nero. And some spokes creep named Taylor Budowich, upon request from Axios, said,
"You have to be pretty desperate to sell books with pictures of paper in a toilet bowl as part of your promotional plan."
And it's all part of a book that Maggie Haberman is coming out with called Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump and the Breaking of America. So, well, like I said, the program begins in the toilet. Oh, well. Perfect for a Moran Monday, don't you think? And do you remember last week we talked about the... Well, yeah, Kim, I'm right there with you. Kim in New York, a common sentiment shared at least in this community. Too bad Maggie Haberman didn't release the photo before he left office and before she wrote a book. It's funny how all the good stuff, no matter how important to the Republic it may seem, the good stuff is, you know, hold for blockbuster publication. Jeez. No, but what I was saying a minute ago, last week we talked, and it was Friday, as a matter of fact. Tara and I talked about it on the Loy Show, and we talked about it on Friday on the front porch. The performance art piece, I guess you could call it that, an art installation, as it were. You know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Whatever. What was his name? Brandon something, I think, that he was convicted last week, was supposed to be wearing an ankle monitor, and instead somehow found his way to CPAC. Maybe they hadn't had time to hook him up yet. I don't know. But he sat in a jail cell in orange coveralls and wept and marked days on the wall. A little bit ironic in light of the fact that he was admitted to 90 days home confinement with an ankle monitor and then 3 years of probation and didn't have any days in the joint to mark on the wall. So persecuted. Oh, dear. Poor baby. But we have a follow-up to that story, namely that marginal trailer queen showed up and was allowed to enter the cell and comfort the poor, poor political prisoner. No, I'm not kidding. It did not, the photograph I saw did not look photoshopped. Just amazing. Political prisoner, right. And it wouldn't be Moran Monday, you know, without marginal trailer queen, so. Well,
you've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Yes, yes, right here. Behind this thin, cybernetic veil of canvas reside all manner of morans, whether it be birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger eaters, baggers, maggots, libertarians, Republicans, all with an occasional outlier. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Here at the Moran Monday tent, where mere steps away, moments away, you were throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in a vain hope of bringing home a not quite precious baby iguana from the Carnival Midway. Yep, right here, right here. And, well, the fact of the matter is, it's the biggest bargain off the Midway. For less than, half a stick of chewing gum per program for subscribers, who also, by the way, five of them can get their first month subscription doubled. Well, we've got the Moran Monday tent coming to your town soon, without a doubt. And, well, just be careful as you enter the tent. Keep a close hand on purses, wallets, clutches, backpacks, etc., bracelets, rings, piercings. That can get a little problematic. All of these things, even European-style messenger bags, because, in fact, the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. And so there she is, marginal trailer queen, Queen of Moran Monday. And there she was in the fake jail cell at CPAC, comforting the little maggot like some sort of twisted right-wing theocratic fascist pieta. Ugh. And but it was nice to see, and you know, she's the nominee, not the person who wrote it, but over at the Daily Beast, an Episcopal priest by the name of Reverend Nathan Empsall did something that Christianity, the decent kind, needs to do, and nobody else can do but them. Addressing what marginal trailer queen had said recently, we need to be the party of nationalism, and I'm a Christian. I say it proudly, we should be Christian nationalists, and when Republicans learn to represent most of the people that vote for them, then we will be the party that continues to grow without having to chase down certain identities or chase down, you know, certain segments of people. Well, this did not sit at all well with Reverend Empsall. Reverend Empsall said, it's not the first time she's embraced the label, and it's a dangerous turn of events that requires active, loud opposition from all of us, especially from American Christians, for whom Green and her allies claim to speak. And as a pastor, if there's one thing I understand, it's that Christian nationalism is unchristian and unpatriotic. Academic researchers define the authoritarian ideology as a political worldview, not a religion, that unconstitutionally and unbiblically merges Christian and American identities, declaring that democracy does not matter because America is a Christian nation where only conservative Christians count as true Americans. All of which is true, as far as it goes. And it's good that Reverend Empsall says it's not Christian. Because for as long as these people get away with referring to themselves and claiming that title, it tars the whole faith. Reverend Empsall continued, the clear goal of Christian nationalism is to seize power only for its mostly white evangelical and conservative Catholic followers, no matter who else gets hurt or how many elections have to be overturned. This is the unholy force that incited the failed coup of January 6, 2021, brought us the recent spate of theocratic Supreme Court opinions, and has inspired multiple wave upon wave of dangerous misinformation about elections, climate change, and COVID-19, all in direct contrast to Jesus' teachings of love, truth, and the common good. So, like I said, it's a start. Declare that she and her others like her are not Christians at all. And he kind of did that. And maybe see if we can get the movement to spread. Of course, I don't think you're going to ever see that declaration come out of Holy Roman Mother Church or the Southern Baptist Convention down in Nashville. But Reverend Empsall really did drive the nail. She'd have you believe that all of her critics hate America and hate God, but this ignores the fact that most Christians are appalled at the way she hijacks the gospel to justify attending white nationalist rallies and spreading anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. They don't speak for American Christians, and it's up to us to finally deflate their claims of a monopoly and thus their hold on power, reclaim our religion and its prophetic voice for the gospel's true values of love, dignity, equality, and yes, social justice. That social justice part probably sends your average Christian nationalist. The mere word that puts them into paroxysms. It's a start. And by the way, big doings over the weekend in terms of the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. Of course, thanks to Curtsy and Kirsty Sinema, the carried interest exception is going to continue. A huge tax break for hedge funders and the like. And somehow or another, they had an opportunity, I should say, to do something about the ridiculous cost of insulin. Well, nope. Sorry. Republicans took out the $35 monthly cap on insulin prices from the bill before it passed the Senate. And they claimed, the Republicans did, that it wasn't properly proposed. Thing is, they could have gotten around the proposal problem if they had wanted to. This is a little bit... it's a lot disingenuous. Uh, 43 Republicans voted against in the Votorama over the weekend, voted against the $35 insulin. Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, he works in the lumber mill there, said that it's a gotcha vote. Lying Dems and their friends in corporate media are at it again, distorting a Democrat gotcha vote. No, really. I guess that's what the burn pit bill was, too. But the fact of the matter is, if it's a gotcha vote, then vote for it and give relief to God knows how many millions of Americans who are facing things like $1,400 insulin bills. And it's so frustrating when you remember that insulin was the man who developed insulin did it, you know, for all humanity. And it is dirt cheap to make. It's all profit. Ron Johnson from Wisconsin continued to piss and moan. In reality, the Dems wanted to break Senate rules to pass insulin pricing cap instead of going through regular order. They put this in a bill it wasn't allowed in, all for show. And Minority Whip John Thune said, well, they wanted to tempt us to vote against it. Well, I guess it worked. Jesus. The difference between $1,400 and $35, it's a lot. And there was a hell of a lot of amendments offered and the like. And God bless Bernie Sanders. Oh, wait a minute. What's that, Ron? Ron and Raleigh says, did Margie drop by for a conjugal visit? She's known to offer that sort of comfort to members of her CrossFit gym. True. I don't think it was, though, because the fellow who was doing the performance art, Ron, he wouldn't have been interested in that. He was that rare bird, that gay maggot. You know, log closet Republicans and the like. This is, you know, this is even one step further into the sub-basement. This is a gay pro-Trumper. And they do exist. I have met trans pro-Trumpers. And you want to talk about somebody I can't figure out? It's like, oh, honey. Then again, you know, Margie, she might have enjoyed the attention. I mean, the bars were open to viewing. Hey, great to hear. Thank you, Steve. Not in New York, but for the first time in years, getting to visit Ottawa, arriving late but loud and clear from Ottawa. Glad to know you made it there, Steve. Enjoy your time. Do please. Do you have the snow boots out yet? In the far frozen north? No, I'm kidding. Yeah, $35 insulin. Flavio says, Grassley said he voted yes when there is C-SPAN footage of him voting no. Yeah, wave a hand in front of his eyes to see if he's startled. Good God, that horrible man. Them crafty Dems, Matt in San Francisco writes, said no one ever. No. Ooh, they sneaked up on us. They made us vote against something we wanted to vote against. We're Republicans. We don't give a shit about insulin or whether anybody can afford it. Hell no. It's just the sacred, holy free market in action. Yeah. Bernie raised several amendments, which the Democrats, playing fair, because Democrats follow the rules, we play checkers while they play chess, said, no, we're going to stick with the bill we've got. Because people have said that they'll vote for it, and the bill will pass. In other words, you know, curtsy and Kirstie Sinema and Joe to the mansion born. At one point in time, Michael Bennett of Colorado said, oh, come on, Bernie. Because Bernie, being Bernie, kept offering amendments, you know, things that actually made sense. He offered an amendment to revive the expanded child tax credit, which actually, for a brief shining moment, lifted millions of American children out of poverty who should never be in poverty to begin with because Merca. And lost that vote 97-1. And Bernie said, pathetically, the United States has the highest child poverty rate of almost any major country on earth, and it's especially high among young people of color. This is the wealthiest nation on earth. We should not have the highest rate of childhood poverty of almost any country. The American Rescue Plan included a $300 a month child tax credit, which ended up lowering the child poverty rate in America by over 40%. He wanted to re-extend it for four more years to be fully paid for by restoring the top corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. And then, you know, something that I understand, but sometimes it's a bitter pill to swallow. It's almost always a bitter pill to swallow. Senator Sherrod Brown, not known for being a right-wing conservative senator of he from Ohio, said, Senator Sanders is right. The child tax credit is one of the most important things this body did. It brought down the child poverty rate by 40% almost immediately. Then he said, but we have to vote down this amendment so we can get the bill passed. Michael Bennett, referenced earlier, come on, Bernie. We have to fight to make this enhanced child tax credit permanent, and that's what I will do with people on both sides of the aisle, but this does not advance that cause because we could lose the underlying bill, and therefore we should vote against the amendment. You know, the underlying bill. The one that has the Joe Manchin Memorial climate bomb attached to it. Funny how we could attach a climate bomb to an inflation reduction bill, but not a child tax credit to lift children out of poverty. It doesn't fill me with a great sense of optimism for Republicans getting on board with a standalone bill. Does it you? Of course not. Of course not. God. And Bernie had some harsh words for Sherrod Brown. He wanted to know why passing the amendment or allowing 48 Democrats to vote for it would tank the bill. And Sherrod Brown went on to say, the arrangement in this is all 50 Democrats support this. We know every single Republican has voted against the child tax credit, not once last March, but twice. But we know this is a fragile arrangement, and we've got to pass it, as much as I'd like to do it, as would Senator Bennett. And then said, come on, Bernie. It was early on Sunday when all this stuff came up. Bernie offered up an amendment to make sure Medicare pays no more for prescription drugs than the Department of Veterans Affairs. Offered another amendment to expand Medicare coverage to include dental, oral, hearing, and vision. The Medicare prices bill tied to the VA rate. Yeah, that one he lost 99-1. The Medicare expansion, he lost 97-3 because Senator Raphael Warnock and Senator John Ossoff of Georgia both joined him in that call. He lost 98-1 on an amendment to establish a civilian climate corps. And he lost 99-1 on a bill targeting the fossil fuel industry. And going in, look, Bernie knew he was going to lose. And I think anybody who knew about what he was doing knew he was going to lose. But you have to, what's the phrase, show the flag. He went on to say that the bill that they were going to vote on does not address the reality that we have more income and wealth inequality today than at any time in the last 100 years. This bill does nothing to address the systemic dysfunctionality of the American healthcare system, and said that it also does nothing about a major housing crisis or child poverty rates. And you know what? He is right in every respect. And the question is, did what got passed do much of anything? Because, like, when you compare, say, the total dollar value of this bill to, say, Build Back Better, drop in the bucket. Does not begin to describe it. Well, I hope you're right, Flavio. Flavio said the 1% tax on stock buybacks stays. That should zero out Sinema's request. Again, one hopes. Doing some ciphering for me, Ron in Raleigh says, the Inflation Reduction Act bill, if I'm not mistaken, is $783 billion over 10 years, which is about one quarter of the original BBB. That amounts to $78 billion each year, which is about $23 billion more than the defense budget bump that the Senate approved, above and beyond what the Pentagon asked for. Only 10 drugs are in those that can be negotiated, and only for Medicare recipients. Why is this bill being called massive? Because that's how they want to market it. That part of it is branding. That part of it is marketing. It's not actually, you know, massive. No. And again, climate bomb. How much? I wonder how much of the climate money will be completely zeroed out by Joe Manchin's climate bomb. You know, those 26 new coal plants per year that the Mountain Valley Pipeline will account for. You know, added to our already tenuous carbon situation. But will wonders never cease? Our pal Mark in Texas sent one story along to me, and it was like, well, son of a gun, somebody's listening. And, you know, from the Department of, well, that took long enough. But in point of fact, yeah, NBC News, abandoned mines and poor oversight worsened Kentucky flooding, attorneys say. Somebody finally noticed. And then somebody else finally noticed. Over at Inside Climate News, which of course is read by only people who care about the climate and not people who desperately need to know about what's really happening out there. This headline, can Appalachia be saved, or will worse and worse flooding wash it away? The reporters on the story are Chris Kenning, Connor Griffin, and James Bruggers. And the subhead reads, Kentucky's historic floods amid rising extreme weather in the U.S. have fueled fears in one of America's most vulnerable regions. Poverty, dispersed housing in remote valleys, and strip-mined mountains that accelerate floods. Ooh, there we are. Make climate adaptation an extreme challenge. You're not wrong. This is just ugly. And the fact that why? The central question is, why isn't this a headline at CBS News, at ABC News, at PBS? I mean, there was oodles of coverage of how bad the flooding was and is. But nobody noticed. I mean, do they ever use Google Earth? Do they ever see those massive cancers that are visible from space? The hundreds of mountains that have been blown away that once soaked up things like heavy rain? I mean, it's not unusual for a temperate rainforest to get a lot of rain. Yeah, the weather events are becoming more extreme. But when you see them happening in a place that has already been denuded, and you can't make the obvious connection, the hell? You begin to wonder if that's willful or just negligent. And I recommend everybody read this article, insideclimatenews.org. At least 37 people have been killed in Kentucky. There's been damage in Virginia and West Virginia as well. Coal mining scarred mountains that accelerate floods. It's right there, five or six paragraphs down in the body of the article. But I got to thinking as I read, will more rains make it worse? And, you know, just because I think, sometimes I know how to think like a coal executive, I could just hear the wheels turn. Hey, Clem, wait a minute. Think about it. This could be great for us. A lot more rain means a lot more hail washes away, and maybe we won't have to use so damn much high ammonium nitrate fuel oil explosives. It'll just all wash away, and all we'll have to do is come scrape off the coal. Dang. Eustace.
There's a reason you're a coal executive.
But it's all, you know, it is. It's all true. Even as Kentucky's devastation renews attention to longstanding challenges, some residents say they have little hope that effective protections will arrive anytime soon. For now, the emphasis is on trying to rebuild what was lost. In Kentucky, Governor Andy Beshear said recently that he may call a special legislative session for more aid to the region, and FEMA is providing housing and other help. Ha! FEMA! Some places are trying to draw up plans for, you know, how you prevent the next one. But I don't think that any plan that doesn't say stop blowing up the mountains and fix the ones that were blown up already is in any of those plans. And after all, come on, it's only Appalachia. It's not like it's somewhere that anybody cares about. I mean, I think back to the memo written, God, I think back in the 80s, maybe the early 90s, by a Columbia Gas Transmission Company lawyer named Snyder. And it laid out a plan for depopulating central Appalachia until it was just the very basic population needed to take care of the people who worked in the hydrocarbon industries. You know, just enough teachers for their kids. Just enough medical services for them and their families. Just enough businesses so they can buy their groceries and whatnot. It was very much real. And over the years, I've watched the plan be put into action. And it's hard to live with. The region's topography also contributes to how flashy a flood can be. The steep slopes of the Appalachians allow water to rush quickly into the narrow valleys below, sometimes swamping hollows before residents have a chance to escape. In 2019, an Inside Climate News analysis of U.S. Army Corps of Engineers stream flow data and satellite images of disturbed land from strip mining found areas such as the Big Sandy Watershed, which runs between the Kentucky and West Virginia state lines, to be among the most threatened by climate change-fueled extreme weather within the Ohio River Basin. The region's history of coal mining as well as logging can exacerbate flooding, experts said, by dramatically altering the landscape. With surface mining, trees are the first to go, then sometimes hundreds of feet of rock are blasted, sometimes, always, blasted away from the tops and sides of mountains to get at underground seams of coal. Jack Spadaro, I know him, friend of mine, said, normally on a forested hillside, the trees and their roots will absorb 40% to 50% of the rain that falls and then slowly release it. But after mining, surfaces robbed of vegetation help fuel flash flooding. One county in Kentucky, Breathitt, 50% of the homes there are at risk of flooding damage. So, you know, interestingly, Breathitt County also has a 28% poverty rate. There's probably some kind of intersection going on there. Oh, by the way, going back to the massive bill versus the DOD budget, Stephen New York points out, Stephen Ottawa, sorry, $783 billion over 10 years versus fiscal year 2023 DOD budget request, $803.4 billion. So we're going to give $803.4 billion to a defense industry to defend a nation that can probably be knocked over by, damages that come from climate change. Jesus, $803.4 billion for a Pentagon that Well, granted, it wasn't the Pentagon's job, but we couldn't even keep a bunch of club-wielding and AR-15-wielding seditious terrorist maggots from overrunning and trashing the capital of the United States of America. Something makes me feel like the Pentagon's a money pit. But the problem is most people, yeah, well, we got to spend that money on defense, you know. I mean, we got China out there, and we got Russia. We got terrorists that hate freedom. They got to have that money. Sure. Can you bomb a $1,400 bottle of insulin that should cost no more than $35? Just curious. Asking for a few million Americans. I have an idea, Ron and Raleigh says. How much could we save if we zero out the fossil fuel subsidies and raise the royalty rates for mining, drilling, etc. on government land and the implementation of a 2% STET tax on stock trades? That feels like it would probably be an awful lot of money, Ron. I gotta say, awful lot of money. But then again, I think, you know, that goes back to my ongoing argument about the glory day, because, you know, the real day of American freedom will come when we no longer have to burn a single drop of oil and can tell people like our partners in peace, the Saudis, to go out in the desert and fuck each other. Oops, there went an F-bomb. So, but you get an idea that, you know, we're gonna have some morons this evening, and of course, if you're interested, your calls as well. How about that? He's got a tasty little pardon, and suddenly he wants to talk. Business Insider sat down with Paul Manafort for an interview. And finally, in this interview, he admits that he handed over polling data to Mother Russia, particularly to one Konstantin Kalimnik, a longtime business associate with suspected ties to Russian intelligence. Kalimnik then passed the data on to Russian spies. That's what the Treasury Department says. And the Treasury Department describes the information as sensitive information on polling and campaign strategy. Manafort told Insider that he directed his deputy, Rick Gates, to feed Kalimnik polling data via email to keep Konstantin informed. The goal was to use his access to Trump to drum up business for himself. Well, actually, I don't have a hard time believing at least a portion of that, because the grift is always the biggest part of it. By way of giving himself an out, Manafort said, "Well, I didn't know. I didn't have any reason to think Konstantin was a spy or nothing. I mean, Yanukovych's staff had already cleared him. None of us believed he worked for Russian intelligence." Believed. There's that word again. Always that troublesome, troubling word. Believe. And, speaking of new books, you remember how Ivana, now curiously dead, and cremated, but buried in a coffin on Trump's golf course to make it a family cemetery? No, really, I know. Uh, another reporter, so this one, Susan B. Glasser at The New Yorker, is out with a new book called The Divider, Trump in the White House, 2017 to 2021. She worked alongside the New York Times' Peter Baker. They are co-authors on the book. And apparently, Nitwit Nero had a little talk with his national security team. This is back when John Kelly was chief of staff, and Nitwit Nero looked at him and said, "Why can't you be like the German generals?" And John Kelly said, "Dude, what German generals?" "You know, the German generals in World War II. At which point John Kelly looked at him and said, "Sir, I don't know why everyone in subordinate to Trump, I give them, that voice from The Simpsons. Sir, you do know that they tried to kill him 3 times and almost pulled it off."
No.
He even argues with it.
No. They were totally loyal to him. Totally.
Yeah, meanwhile, Mark Milley, according to the book, said, "Well, I'll give you an honest answer on everything I can, and you're going to make the decisions, and as long as they're legal, I'll support it." So back in 2018, Mark Milley had a pretty good inkling that his to-be boss, his boss, might have some thoughts that were something less than constitutional or extra constitutional. And then came June 2020, when Black Lives Matter protesters were at Lafayette Square. He wanted to send in the military, and Mark Esper and Bill Barr to prosecution said, "Uh-uh." And Nitwit Nero started screaming, "You're all losers! You're all fucking losers!" And he turns to Mark Milley and says, "Can't you just shoot them? Just shoot them in the legs or something." I mean, we've heard the shoot them in the legs part before. Milley wrote a letter. Mark Milley got upset enough that he wrote a strongly worded letter. And, of course, he didn't send any of them. He had a preferred version of the letter he didn't send, saying, "The events of the last couple of weeks have caused me to do deep soul searching, and I can no longer faithfully support and execute your orders as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You're using the military to create fear in the minds of the people, and we're trying to protect the American people. I cannot stand by idly by and participate in that attack, verbally or otherwise, on the American people. You're ruining the international order and causing significant damage to our country overseas." Except he didn't send it. He didn't say it. Wow. Talk about a Parthian shot from 70 leagues away. And then Milley decided he wouldn't resign because he decided he was the only person who could stop Nitwit Nero from starting World War III. And the book apparently goes all the way back to his big dreams for his big parade. And I confess, if there's any untruth to any of this, I'm believing it because of confirmation bias. It sounds like Trump. It has the Trumpian stench of truth about it. Talking about the parade he wanted because he'd seen a big parade for Bastille Day in France. and he wanted a parade. So
I want a parade. Why can't I have a parade? God damn it, I want a parade.
But he wanted to make clear who he wanted in the parade.
Look, I don't want any wounded guys in the parade.
He says this to John Kelly.
This doesn't look good for me.
Because he'd seen wounded soldiers in the parade for Bastille Day in France. And apparently John Kelly stood there with his mouth open catching flies. When he heard,
I don't want any wounded guys.
And then, apparently this was John Kelly responding. Those are the heroes. In our society, there's only one group of people who are more heroic than they are, and they're buried over at Arlington. And Trump replies,
I don't want them. It doesn't look good for me. I don't want them.
I guess they won't be reporting any of this over at Newsmuck or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, or Real America's Psychosis, or any of the Fox. And I'm about to make a terrible mistake. I'll go ahead and make it. Because how can you be a Republican who has, since at least 2000... spent every day of their lives just masturbating over their military parasocial crush, and how much they love them some troops. How do you read that or have that delivered to you, and continue to support that horrible, galumphing, jiggling wad of flesh? And of course, you know the answer, and so do I. You just,
well, that's more that fake news. He loves the troops. He'd never say something like that.
Because this goes all the way back to him saying, well, on camera, it not being reported in a book, but there's the video of, he respected soldiers who didn't get captured in Vietnam. And they were okay with that, too. Y'all, they're going to do it again. I'm terribly, terribly sorry to rub that in, but they're going to do it again. Oh, and by the way, a good group in the chat room. If you'd like to pop by this evening, participate in the Merry Wacky Zany Real-Time Multimedia Madcap Extravaganza. This is the Horn chat room. If you pop in, the group there now will eagerly and joyfully greet you. That's Anatole and Natural and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. And his mickle talents for brain bashing. And apparently, Natural said, all of your leaders believe in extrajudicial killings, just less evil. You'll have to flesh that one out a little bit. Extrajudicial, yeah. You know, your occasional Ayman al-Zawahiri. Yeah. I think you could probably say that.
Why can't you be like the German generals?
it being Moran Monday, we have a Lindsey Graham sighting, of course. I've noticed over the course of the weekend a little bit more coverage of Sammy Bad Breath going abroad to take a victory lap over the women in this country. And still, you know, still nothing out there in terms of trying to, I don't know, bring him to heel. Oh, by the way, from the Department of Hypocrisy Department. You remember the story from last week about Ron Monkey up DeKlantis suspending an elected county prosecutor for stating firmly and unequivocally his moral stance that he would not prosecute people charged with providing abortion care? Yeah, that got a little bit of attention. Interestingly, however, the Orlando Sentinel went digging about, and it turns out that the prosecutor Warren, state's attorney Warren, is not alone in refusing to prosecute certain laws. Something else we talked about last week, of course, constitutional sheriff. There's no small number of Florida sheriffs who refuse to enforce legally binding gun control measures in their counties. Writing at the Orlando Sentinel, Skylar Swisher wrote, "Some elected officials have suggested they wouldn't enforce gun control measures, tapping into an ideology that sheriffs are the final arbiter of what is constitutional. But that movement hasn't sparked action from Governor Ron DeSantis, who ordered a statewide review of state attorneys and their policy positions." So now he's moving on to, I guess, what you could say would be a purge of state's attorneys, whom he will then replace with maggot lawyers loyal to Monkey Up. And there we were, talking about the constitutional sheriffs just last week. I wonder whose policy position is more dangerous. Whose policy position is more deadly? Somebody who refuses to prosecute a doctor for providing badly needed medical care? Or a gang of tin-horn, cowboy-hatted sheriffs who want to make sure that, the next Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooter has plenty of access to a weapon of war, or weapons. I mean, over on the Constitutional Sheriff website, they write, and this is word salad, so, you know, be prepared. "The vertical separation of powers in the Constitution makes it clear that the power of the sheriff even supersedes the powers of the president." Huh? No, really. A county sheriff is more powerful than the president. In the Orlando Sentinel, they take a look at Seminole County, Florida Sheriff Dennis Lemma, that a proposed constitutional amendment requiring gun registration, well, he said,
it's up to the sheriffs what they're willing to enforce.
And notes that the Florida Sheriffs Association in 2013 declared that it would not assist, support, or condone gun laws that they, the constitutional sheriffs, the Florida Sheriffs Association, decide are inconsistent with the Second Amendment. So let's say, oh, I don't know, some guy beats the living hell out of his partner. And files a complaint in which they're supposed to go and, you know, take away the guns. And the sheriff says, nope, that's inconsistent with the Second Amendment. I have ruled. And a couple of weeks later, she gets found with her brain splattered all over the trailer. Obviously, the domestic violence guy is guilty of that. But it sure does seem like the constitutional sheriff would have some accessory before the fact exposure in that, wouldn't he? There is a bill, a law in Florida, that raises the age for purchasing guns and imposes a 3-day waiting period and gives judges power to confiscate guns from dangerous people under red flag laws. Ron Monkey Up DeClantis said he was not in office yet, but he said, oh, he would have vetoed that bill, you know, because freedom. Oh, my aching back. He would have vetoed it. You know, some more people could die. Because the kind of people who vote for Ron Monkey Up DeClantis are the kind of people who don't give a shit when schools get shot up because, you know, their kids aren't there. Doesn't touch them, so who gives a damn? This country. Oh, the latest in right-wing anti-abortion hysteria. Well, Tim Scott of South Carolina Stan sent out a fundraising email, and here's the ask. If we don't take back the Senate, Dems will pack the courts. We already did. You know, the Republicans. Give D.C. statehood, grant abortions up to 52 weeks, and Republicans will never win again. Trying to find the downside of any of that, especially the Republicans will never win again. There's no such thing as a 52-week abortion. Goddamn maggot. That's just a birth. Once again, proving, you know, how little privileged men know about the workings of women's reproductive systems. DC statehood? Isn't it about time? I mean, D.C. has a population similar to that of West Virginia, and we get two senators. We get two members of the House of Representatives. I mean, that motto on D.C. license plates is real. Taxation without representation. Fifty-two weeks. That's a year. Tim Scott thinks a woman is pregnant for a slap year. The chief medical officer of Planned Parenthood, Hudson Pekonic, interviewed by Huffington Post, said a full-term pregnancy is approximately 40 weeks. I mean, that was Dr. Meera Shah, chief medical officer of Planned Parenthood, Hudson Pekonic. I read that wrong. 40 weeks. So Tim Scott is saying it's okay to, that Democrats want to abort babies who are post-birth and 3 months old. 90-day remorse clause? What? Dr. Shah said, it is not logical or medically accurate to say that people can be pregnant at 52 weeks, let alone be seeking an abortion. It is comments like this one that underscores exactly why medical decisions should not be made by politicians. That would be, well, that's the kind of, that's the kind of pregnancy that winds up in religions. And lo, Mary was with child for one solid year. No. Pack the courts? I mean, did I miss it, or did a bill to expand the Supreme Court to 15 members, or 13 even, did I miss that, and it went from the House to the Senate, where they're presently bickering? No, it didn't happen. Tim Scott's just making this up all in his weird, weird little mind. Oh, and there's some, speaking of abortion, there is some, I guess, butt-hurtery. Is that even a word? I don't know. Over The Handmaid. Because Rhodes College, there's a petition going around and that petition seeks to remove The Handmaid's name from their Hall of Fame. This, according to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, is slanderous, according to Jonathan Turley. I'm trying to figure out how that is. I mean, it's their college, isn't it? But, the right-wing capacity for butt-hurtery is significant. Yeah, it's funny, I go to type her name, and just by habit, I type Amy COVID Barrett. But Rhodes College has more than 1,500 graduates at Rhodes College spoke out against her nomination. And they brought in Jonathan Turley. To declare how horrible such a thing would be, oh, scandalous, scandalous. Here.
Amy Coney Barrett at her former college and alumni group at Rhodes College in Tennessee is trying to remove the Supreme Court justice from the school's Hall of Fame, all because she voted to overturn Roe v. Wade. I want to bring in Jonathan Turley, George Washington University law professor and a Fox News contributor. Nice to see you, sir, on a Monday. Hello to you. Just so our viewers know, here's part of what the petition reads. We believe that Justice Amy Coney Barrett is one of the biggest current threats to our fundamental rights, the stability of our nation, and our democracy. I don't know what the school is going to do, but they've made their view quite clear.
They did, and the petition is not just sacrimonious, it's slanderous. They cite the honor code of the school to make allegations that are clearly false. They say that Justice Barrett, in her testimony, misled the Senate about her position on Roe v. Wade. It's unbelievable to make that allegation. At the time, I wrote a column saying that Barrett gave one of the most frank and open discussions on Roe that I've seen of any contemporary justice.
Were we watching the same confirmation hearing? I'm just curious.
She rejected the notion that Roe was super precedent. She said she did not view Roe as inviolate. So if anything, she was more open.
That's another way of saying she did not view the rights of people who can become pregnant as, you know, existing. Remember, from the moment of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of.
About her views than any of her predecessors or contemporaries. And so this petition just makes these allegations with no evidence at all, but then accuses her of being a threat to democracy.
Yeah.
And at some point, you know, mature and civil voices have to take control of our debate. They have to be heard. But unfortunately, it's these extreme voices that are.
Oh, it's extreme. It's extreme for people to be offended that a woman with her who took an oath to tell the truth sat there and lied like a rug. Instead of just saying what she was actually put there to do. Listen, y'all, I am going to go onto the court and I'm going to take away the rights of every person in this country who becomes pregnant to decide whether or not that person wishes to continue with the pregnancy. Gonna do it! But instead she used a bunch of weasel language. And look, every Democrat in that room knew what she was put there to do. Every Republican in that room knew what she was put there to do. And I'm sorry that maybe this spoils cocktail hour for Jonathan fucking Turley. But no, there's nothing wrong with Rhodes College in Tennessee moving to remove her and perform essentially what is on that level a damnatio memoriae for her, upon her. In a way, she shat on the value of their degrees. Because, you know, any of them could be just like her, you know, despising the Constitution, despising the rights of over half the population of this country.
Oh, but Jonathan Turley is, oh, he's so, so put out over it all.
Are heard more often.
Yeah, but the school hasn't made a decision, right, at Rhodes College in Tennessee?
No, I expect that the school will not yield to this particular cancel campaign. At least I hope.
Oh, it's a cancel campaign.
I mean, this is a justice that Rhodes College as a whole should be endlessly proud of. And you can disagree with the justice about her views, but she has written profoundly about her views of jurisprudence. And her views are shared by millions, including many of jurists.
Yeah.
Yeah, including millions. And lots of people who can't even spell jurisprudence.
millions and millions of people who sit around grunting about the precious little fetuses and vote for politicians who prefer to starve them after they're born. Yeah, hey, Ralphs. Ralph said, oh, my God, I didn't know Jonathan Turley was that batshit crazy. Well, he's taken the coin from Fox News Radio TV Rwanda. So he's kind of got to say what they want said.
I got one more for you. City University of New York has a graduate. And
oh, never mind. Oh, this is terrible. This is unbearable. Oh, this is awful. Somebody's making Amy somebody's talking about consequences for Amy COVID Barrett for what she deliberately and intentionally did. Quel horreur. Right? Jesus. And Emery and Marvelline just sit there lapping it up like a kitty in a bowl of cream. And you know what happens after that? I happen to be of the opinion that via peaceful and legal means, the handmaid should never know another minute's peace for as long as she is on this planet. Ever. A second. A scintilla juris. Oh, write elegantly about a scintilla juris, Justice Handmaid. She is disgusting. She is a misogynist. She is an enabler of male misogyny. She is a participant in a weird-ass cult. We don't call her handmaid because of the Handmaid's Tale. We call her the handmaid because that is the term, the title, the office that her weird-ass cult gave her. Books are dangerous, Ron in Raleigh reminds us. The residents of Jamestown, Michigan voted to defund the town library because of 9,000 volumes dealing with LGBTQ themes. The library has over 90,000 volumes. Burn the books, I say, because they're grooming the children. Oh, Lord, I know. And so now they have no library. No library. What did they think would happen? Yeah, you'll have that. Oh, by the way, Lady B asks, back with that unsent Mark Milley letter to Nitwit Nero, the resignation letter. Lady B asks, did Mark Milley's letter end with XOXO? Hugs and kisses. You know it did.
Dear my president, it is with heavy heart that I write this letter, for I love you so much.
Mm-hmm. XOXO.
And Flavio reminds us, remember that military parade Trump wanted way back when he came back from Paris? This is the vignette I love. The subject came up again during an Oval Office briefing that included Trump, Kelly, and Paul Selva, an Air Force general, and the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Kelly joked in his deadpan way about the parade. Well, you know, General Selva is going to be in charge of organizing the 4th of July parade, he told the president. Trump did not understand that Kelly was being sarcastic. So, what do you think of the parade?
What do you think of the parade?
Trump asked Selva. Instead of telling Trump what he wanted to hear, Selva was forthright. I didn't grow up in the United States. I actually grew up in Portugal, Selva said. Portugal was a dictatorship, and parades were about showing the people who had the guns. And in this country, we don't do that. It's not who we are. At which point Nitwit Nero looked at him like a doe in the headlights.
So you don't like the idea?
Selva replied, no. It's what dictators do.
I kind of want to be one of those. What's wrong with that?
President Xi is going to be president of China forever. Why can't I?
In ever so many ways, we don't know how close we came and how close we yet are. The maggots, you know, for all the news stories about how, you know, some of his support may be peeling away, the maggots are loyal unto death. And they will not abandon him if he runs. I don't know if anybody's told Ron Monkey Up Duclantis that, or Mike Pencil Neck Geek, but they will remain loyal if he runs, and he will be the nominee if he runs. And that means it's entirely on us. The only way to keep him out of the White House again is for good people to do something. And to get other people who might just otherwise stay home to do something. Oh, by the way, going back to Tim Scott and his 52-week abortion. Brother Deacon Asa says, the shitbag was likely thinking about the 52-month abortion, which happens when the fetus has made it to kindergarten, where he, she gets chopped into chutney. I'll bet you a sawbuck Tim Scott's all in for that type of abortion. Well, of course, because, you know, it's retroactive, and it shows how much freedom we've got here in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, amen. That's just an outbreak of freedom. Oh, and by the way, for all those people out there writing articles about the fall, the tremendous fall of Alex Jones. Yeah, not so much. He's still, I guess he's still a popular guest. He showed up to have a conversation with the man who looks like what rancid hot dog water smells like. Well, thank you. Ron and Raleigh says, you may run, you have permission, you may run rabbits and eat dirt, also drink a pint of PP and put onions in my socks with this link. You know, for heaven's sakes. North Carolina schools to stock AR-15s to prevent Uvalde repeat. One North Carolina county thinks they're going to be prepared for future active shooter situations by supplying the school resource officers there with AR-15s. They'll be... At the start of the fall semester in a couple of weeks, each of the district's six schools will keep one of the firearms inside a safe. Madison County Sheriff Buddy Harwood, who led the initiative, told NBC News. Well, that'll be great. How many will the shooter have taken down by the time Barney remembers the combination to the safe? And then will he use it?
Well, hell yeah, he'll use it, because by God, we ain't a bunch of sissies like them Texans are. We're from North Carolina. Hell, we're goddamn trigger happy. We're the Confederates who shot Stonewall Jackson. And he had it coming.
Yeah, as Ron and Raleigh notes, where am I going and why am I in this handcart? I know. And I guess they want to keep it in the safe because you don't want the school resource officer walking around toting an AR-15 with a bunch of kids, you know, changing classes and bumping into him and shit. And the next thing you know, yeah. But anyway, back to Alex Jones. He for all, like I said, for all those people who append articles saying, oh, the historic fall of Alex Jones, he doesn't seem to be falling. It's not like gravity's gone or anything.
Are you concerned about the November 8th elections? Do you see things out there that are concerning you about whether we'll have a free and fair election on November 8th?
I'm worried that the Biden controllers, the third administration of Obama, I'm worried that Obama and his people may provocateurs some type of big terror attack. They might launch a cyber attack and blame it on the Russians. They might start a major war. I mean, they're going to have.
And again, caveat, always remember, anytime somebody like this speaks, it's either confession or projection. See, y'all, they're going to do it again for further information.
On October surprise, or a group of October surprises, you can bet your bottom dollar on it, because all the numbers, all the polls show a societal realignment against leftists, against neoliberalism, against Hollywood. Everything Hollywood's doing is turning to crap. Everybody's turning against them, and it's moving faster and faster. So I don't see them giving up. I see them really trying to pull some major shenanigans.
Alex Jones.
Which leads us to a number of questions, one of which is, I guess he's not toxic enough to keep him off of Steve Bannon's air. And second question, why is he asking Alex Jones about election security? I mean, we were like one phoneme away from elections being corrupted by the monkey jellyfish hybrids of the wet markets of old Kowloon, or maybe transgender frogs. And there he is behind his microphone with a brand new conviction for contempt of Congress. And he's not broadcasting, you know, racist Bannon from inside a jail cell now, is he? So we find ourselves once again noting the fact that a failed coup that goes unpunished is a dress rehearsal for the one that succeeds. I mean, look at it, what we were talking about with the constitutional sheriffs. Think about the implications of that. And think about the implications of that in conjunction with the Supreme Court case that will be heard in the next term about the independent state legislature doctrine. Well, I guess this is the independent county sheriff doctrine. And it's and as the article about the constitutional sheriffs pointed out, the oath keepers get the big press, but it's the constitutional sheriffs who have most effectively wormed their way into the infrastructure of law enforcement in this country. And every time a cop declines to act on an obvious crime, you can bet that maybe there was something in the way of some. I mean, these are just the cop equivalent of sovereign citizens. I think about the girl who got threatened and battered outside a library in San Antonio, or maybe El Paso. And the cops let it happen and did nothing about it. I guess because she deserved it. Or maybe it was how she was dressed. This isn't something that's in the future. This is something that is here and now. The Obama and his people plotting a terrorist attack. And people watch this and just soak it all in. Amazing. Emilio says, come on, Robin, all those extra guns will help with school shootings. With more guns, there will likely be many more dead in the next school shooting, making it that more likely that the perpetrator will be among those killed. Hence, there will be less school shooters, making everything safer. It's so obvious.
Well, of course, Socrates, you are correct. I mean, the blinding light of reason has shone upon me, Emilio. God. Oh, and we are halfway through the program, and we are on our way to a Moran Monday goose egg at the worst possible time. The fundraising goal is at $630. If we could finish last week, 330, that would be an amazing help as I kind of try to keep all the plates spinning on all the sticks so this program can go on. And by the way, we will very soon, Mirabile dictu, we have or will soon pass 500,000 downloads at Podbean alone. Which is nothing if not amazing. Yeah, there we are. We are at 499,300 all-time downloads. I said that we would pass that mark sometime in August, and, well, apparently I was right. We are 700 downloads, or 600 and change, away from 500,000 all-time downloads at Podbean. Again, not that big a number for some humongous platform, but for a little old... A little old bake sale radio operation like this, yeah, that's a big deal. And the way that continues is to continue funding the program. Again, I wish I was independently wealthy, or just could carry all of this myself. I can't, and it's a constant source of worry and anxiety, and you know that's the downside of being independent and not having that monthly check coming in from the paleo chocolate chicken bone nutritional beverage people or the stupid beets. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs says, I'm offering a 500,000 downloads, $25 challenge. That's wonderful. Thank you, Ralphs. That would finish off last Thursday and get us started on last Friday. So thank you, Ralphs. Hopefully somebody will match that, and we will go from there. God knows it's badly needed. Less than 700 downloads away. I'm impressed. By the way, Annette saw a story and sent it to me with an abiding sense of horror. You remember, last week we had the story of... How a case of polio had been discovered in, Rockingham County, New York? Well, we have an update to that, and we already know from the response to the pandemic how thoroughly infected we are with self-centered stupidity. This is chilling. New York Health Department says hundreds of people may be infected with poliovirus. New York State health officials have found indications of additional cases of poliovirus in wastewater samples from two different counties, leading them to warn that hundreds of people may be infected with a potentially serious virus.
Only 2 weeks previous, the New York Health Department reported the first case of polio in almost a decade in Rockland County, north of New York City. It occurred in a previously healthy young adult who was unvaccinated and developed paralysis in their legs. Since then, three positive wastewater samples from Rockland County and four from neighboring Orange County were discovered and genetically linked to the first case. They announced this last Thursday, saying that polio is apparently spreading within local communities. The new samples were taken from locations in Orange County in June and July, and one location in Rockland County in July. State Health Commissioner Dr. Mary T. Bassett said, based on earlier polio outbreaks, New Yorkers should know that for every one case of paralytic polio observed, there may be hundreds of other people infected. Coupled with the latest wastewater findings, the department is treating the single case of polio as just the tip of the iceberg of much greater potential spread. As we learn more, what we do know is clear. The danger of polio is present in New York today. Well, it'll be present other places soon, too, if it isn't already. Monkeypox is now a national public health emergency. And people are, certain people, you know, the usual suspects, are trying to paint it as a an LGBTQ problem. It is not exclusively that. It is spread, monkeypox is, virally. It is spread by contact and not by any kind of contact that is particular to the LGBTQ plus community. The World Health Organization has already declared monkeypox a public health emergency of international concern. There are 7,000 diagnosed cases in the U.S. so far. No deaths, .. yet. Now, of course, the fact that we have it has been declared a national emergency, that opens the door for, oh, I don't know, Ron Monkey up DeKlantis to completely ignore it. Or for make West Virginia great big old governor Jim Justice to say, now listen, monkeypox is bad, but it won't make you grow antlers. Oh, my aching back. We're going to be so bad at this, and apparently we're going to be real bad at polio, too. And I don't even know, I'm going to have to wait for a call from Paul from Parts Unknown or something. I know we don't have the monkeypox vaccine stores that we need to have because government officials failed to order enough a sufficient amount of vaccine. You know, I hear moments of stupidity like that, and I immediately think about when W left office and they talked about all the loyal Bushies they'd left buried in various government agencies, and I go, hmm. So that, and we don't even vaccinate for polio anymore, do we? Or hadn't. Is it time maybe we thought about it? Hard not to wonder. As the article I'm looking at notes from the conversation, the monkeypox emergency declaration doesn't mean that the government expects millions more cases in the next month. It's about helping health agencies get the vaccines and other tools they need to slow the spread of the virus. Good luck in America in the third decade of the 21st century when we were all supposed to be flying around in our Jetsons cars by now. Brace for the wave of monkeypox truth and polio truth. I'd be surprised if Alex Jones isn't already barking and screaming about that. Years ago, when, before he was eclipsed, it would have been Michael the savage wiener,
savage,
hollering about how the filthy brown people had brought it to America. Yeah. Well, let's run over and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm just reaching for the razor blades, goddammit.
Sorry. You should know by now. Robin Kincaid, Little Ray of Fucking Sunshine. What do you want?
Well, here's the deal. I'll tell you what I want. Here's the deal. I was, against my better judgment, nominated by some members of the Horn family. And by nominated, I mean we put our names on little pieces of paper and then put them into a hat. And somebody was blindfolded, spun around three times, and the hat was held high, and then they reached up and pulled out a name. And we didn't recognize the name, 6 7/8. I mean, was that the real name or the nick number name? I don't know. But then they tried again, or did a recount, and pulled my name to be the representative to call in and help maybe take you gently by the hand and lead you, coax you off the fucking ledge. It's Monday. Can you pace yourself? A lot of us had a good weekend, and here we are, and holy God,
what do you want? I mean, I don't make up the news cycle. Damn it.
Well, no, wait a minute. Let me pull a right-wing trick from the 60s out of my bag of tricks here, like Felix the Cat. There's a lot of stuff going on, but there's nowhere written where you've got to have story after story, just an seemingly endless parade of horribles. You've got to put an elephant story in there somewhere. That's all I'm saying.
I had last Friday. I opened the story with the funny French physicist. He's not there for me every day, Scott.
Okay, well, I missed that. I'm sorry. That's
the funny French physicist who took a picture of a slice of chorizo and said it was a view through the Webb telescope of Proxima Centauri, 4.2 light years away, and 14,000 people went cool.
Yes, she's part of the cosmic sandwich. But anyway, I don't mean to jump on you straight out of the gate, Robin. But
no, it's fair.
I wake up in a reasonably happy state, which is not easy sometimes. And now I'm trying to enter the suicide prevention number on the speed dial. I mean, it's got to be a happy medium. I mean, Edgar Casey was a happy medium. Come on, read one of his books. Have an out-of-body experience.
The Dreaming Prophet.
Yes. And while he slept, they stole his shoes. Anyway, so how the hell are you, aside from the news?
No, I'm fine as frog's hair. I mean, you know, you just wake up on a Monday morning and you start looking. I mean, you think. You know, I've been on the, you know, I keep reading over the weekend, and it's like, you know, and I actually look for the elephant stories. I do.
I know you do.
I found a cute little photograph of, they called it biscuits, so I'm guessing it's from somewhere in the UK. Somebody said it was a picture of a deer, and they wrote, a deer walked into my house, and I gave him some biscuits, and an hour later, they came back with their friends, and
yes,
it's the same. It's the same deer with like three other deer standing in the doorway, going, "And?" I mean, that was cute.
The biscuits over in that part of the world are what we call over here
cookies.
And if you ask them for some chips, they will give you French fries. But you've got to ask them for crisps if you want potato chips.
Right, because just as George Bernard Shaw said, The Americans and the British are two peoples separated by a common language.
Indeed, indeed. And by all means, it's a lift, not an elevator.
Oh, and it's a lorry and not a truck and a loo and not a potty.
And it's not a trunk, it's a boot.
Yes.
So I hope you all have been taking notes. There will be a fucking quiz. Well, anyway, that's
And by the way, when you're sitting at Sunday dinner and says somebody passed the joint, they mean they want the roast beef.
That's right. Well, it depends on where the dinner's being held. I've been to some dinners where the joint is,
exactly what we think it is. But have you been to those dinners in the UK?
Well, actually, I've eaten more than a few dinners in the UK. And the people that were hosting me, some of the people I was visiting, they wanted to give me, what the hell did they give me? A Yorkshire, was it a Yorkshire pudding?
Oh, God, yes, I love Yorkshire pudding.
It's been so long. But I had bangers and mash. I had bangers and mash, and I had mushy peas. And
no, mushy peas. Mushy peas.
Where I was from, was on a mushy. They're mushy. But what was the thing? One thing that astounded me in the grocery stores.
No spotted dick?
No, I had the ointment helped clear that right up.
Okay.
Yes, anyway. Yes, I didn't.
You were waiting for that one, weren't you?
Oh, there's always room for some spotted dick. No, I didn't. I didn't have spotted dick. One thing that happened in the grocery store, and I don't know why I didn't consider this. I'm walking up and down the cereal aisle, and saw Kellogg's Corn Flakes. You know, with the rooster on the package, the old Kellogg's rooster. And for some reason, It didn't dawn on me that they have our brands over there. We don't have as many of their brands over here, but they have plenty of our brands over there. But the thing I couldn't get used to back then, I was drinking rum and Cokes. And if you go to the pub, which is their term for bar, drinking establishment, they will, if you ask them for a rum and Coke, you must tell them that you want ice. And maybe it was this.
Yes, because
bar.
Yes, because it's Europe, and the guy with the recipe died.
Okay, well, I knew there was a plausible reason. But anyway, God, to this day I carry a British pound coin in the little pocket watch pocket of my Levi's, so that I am never technically broke. I have that, and I have two or three pesos that I've found on the sidewalks here over the years. So as bad as it could ever get, I'm never completely broke. Because who in this country is going to take a pound or a couple of... Well, we might take some pesos, being this close to the border. But anyway, that's not why I called. Why did I call, Robin?
We'll figure it out. You know, it's a process.
It's like, well, you got to grab that piece of string and just kind of follow it to wherever it goes. No, I've been sort of out of the loop. I'm in my dog days of August. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. I don't know if you mentioned it in the early part of the show, but I looked at the old New York Times website today, and David McCullough has gone on to the great broadcast booth in the sky. Do you know who David McCullough is?
I recognize the name, but I can't put it there. Put you know, two and two together, or one and one.
Well, he's written a number of books. One of them, about 20 years ago, was Truman. A big, honking, thick biography of Harry Truman.
Yes, 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 yes.
And he has done voiceover and hosted for a number of PBS shows years ago. But just a wonderful human being. I know I've never met him, but just listening to him and reading his work and articles and things that he's written, you owe it to yourself to go on to the like the C-SPAN website and look up some old interviews with David McCullough. An intelligent, thoughtful person. I mean, there are two attributes there that are in short supply in this country today: thoughtfulness and intelligence. And I will say that we have more of that on our side than there is on the other side. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you, and this may be good news or bad news. I'll let you figure it out. There's no reason in the world why you can't pull down 800,000 a day, 5 days a week consistently.
Well, tell me more.
And you don't have to say lunatic things. You can keep doing, you know, the stuff that you currently do. Although, once again, I would temper it. I would season it. I would enhance it with a little more positive, upbeat, hopeful type stuff. Okay. See, the way that Alex Jones pulled in 800,000 a day, some days, a couple of years ago, as he's got this constant litany of horror and madness and stuff to frighten people. would
and yes, with it and he makes it work by making sure that the frightened people are frightened of the right other people.
Right. Exactly. Well, we know from experience that fear and that type of stuff, that technique, does not necessarily work on our side of the aisle, by and large. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Because we're happy campers. We like to bop along and not be have our lives be intruded upon by harsh realities. You know? I mean, pretty much, not everybody, but pretty much, we don't harsh my high or my groove or whatever the thing is. Well, so you don't have to do the list of horribles as Alex Jones does, but you need to have one of the main things that he has, and that is a broader audience.
Because
that's, and I don't know how to make that happen. I've dropped little nuggets in your ear there, trying to.
I'm constantly thinking about it. Well, and part and parcel of that is going to be the eventual, and I've resisted it. I freely acknowledge it. I have. You're a radio person, okay? Mm-hmm. It's the magic of radio. It's the audio only format. But you know, two Fridays ago, we had John Britovo talking about his move to TikTok, and I need to do that. And it's just, as a radio person, I find it a horror. I'm not nearly as horrified of video as I once was. I'm kind of happy with myself for the first time ever. But that's not the point. I fail to understand the fascination with watching someone sit there and talk.
Well, why do it then? I mean, you're a radio person as well.
Because that's how you grow the audience in the early years of the third decade of the 21st century. That's where all the money is. That's where all the audience is.
You mean a static video of a person hunched over a hot microphone with a glass of iced tea off to the side?
Yes.
And that causes people to listen more or watch more?
Yes.
Or give more
they find it more easily, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I did a little research over the weekend, and, you know, there are things you gotta build your banned and blocked words list on TikTok. And
Whoa, stop there for a moment. Say that again. You gotta build your banned and blocked words list?
Apparently I don't have to say it again.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to make sure I heard you correctly.
Yes. And TikTok gets really, really, and other platforms do too. They get really sketchy about discussions of drugs or addiction or self-harm. And their algorithms apparently light up like a Christmas tree if it zips across the word, you know, suicide.
Now, do the algorithms consider context?
No! Algorithms suck at context.
Well, then that's a platform you don't want to be part of.
But it's where everybody under 30 gets their news.
Well, I don't know that the under 30 crowd is the target.
Well, under 40. Yeah, and it is. I mean, I am now outside the target demographic for the great American marketing experience.
I remember when that happened to me. I think it was in the Arbitron ratings, the radio ratings.
Oh yeah.
When I hit 65 to infinity several years ago, I almost just sold my radio. I mean, not that I use it for much anymore. Hold down some papers in front of the open window to keep them from blowing away off of the table.
I mean, I'm constantly barraged. Every time I open up YouTube, I'm barraged with ads for me to tell Shelley Moore Capito to stop hurting our American technology innovators by a guy standing in a cornfield. That's it.
Is there, Is your little girl in a gingham dress and a dog named Toto in this
place? No, but I think there's a tractor, maybe a barn.
We represent the Lollipop Hill.
And so I'm only going to do a couple of lines of that because the song.
Oh, and speaking of lines, Emilio said, I hate rum and coke. I don't get what's the point. It makes the coke all soggy.
Well, you're using the wrong rum.
I tried snorting coke one time. I did, and I about drowned, and the bubbles just burned the inside of my nose. Something fierce.
You need to use that. First of all, you need to use
Tough
real
crap.
Coca-Cola. I know. You need to use real Coca-Cola. And my favorite, which I discovered quite by accident, was Captain Morgan's spiced rum. Have you ever had that?
Oh, a long time ago. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Rum with vanilla.
Pardon?
It's rum with vanilla.
No, is that true? Cause
pretty much mostly vanilla. There might be a little bit of something else in there, but mostly vanilla.
The first time I ever had that, I could if we were in Old Town Alexandria, I could take you to the spot. Now, the place may not be there anymore, but I could take you to the spot where I had a lovely Italian dinner, and the wait person came up and said, will you have a cocktail before dinner? And I said, why, yes, what do you recommend? Oh, what do you normally drink? Well, rum and coke. Well, may I serve that with Captain Morgan's spiced rum? And I got all tingly. I'd never heard of such a thing. And he did, or she did, and then I drank, and hey, bobbery bop, I almost booked a boat to go up along the Barbary coast and plunder and stuff.
Yar,
which patch does the...
The beatings will continue until morale improves.
Which eye does the patch go over? Rawr, yar.
Matey.
Yes, 15 men on a... 15 what? 15 what on a dead man's patoot?
15 men on a dead man's chest.
Well, if he's dead, why hold him down? I mean, it's... Or is that a...
Necrophilia means never having to say you're sorry.
Oh, dear. I don't even want to talk about it. See, another thing you probably can't talk about on TikTok.
Probably not. See, it would be better if I didn't talk about it here. You know, it's kind of like... It's hard to miss the struggles with fundraising in conjunction with, you know, transition and everything. And, sorry. I'm trying really hard to... Make sure that no trans stories come into the program, at least not every blessed night.
No, what's this about?
What's what about?
The word police are cracking down on you?
Oh, I get emails. I don't share most of them.
Something like too much emphasis on
don't talk about the potty bills. It doesn't matter to most people. You know, stuff like that.
Are you checking the return address? Because that sounds like Republican general.
No. It's our community.
Well, all the more reason to get a bigger community.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not your consultant or anything like that. I'm just...
No, and...
I would, even if it wasn't $800,000 a show, let's cut it.
Oh, honey, I couldn't. I would spontaneously combust with something like that. That would drive me bananas.
Cut it down by a factor and say 800 a show. I mean, you're not going to go falling off of your chair over that. Initially, you might, but... You know, do the show from the floor for a couple of days until you get used to the.
Well, that's kind of where we. I mean, not 800, but things like health insurance are beyond my reach right now. Between the drop off in funding and the cost of health insurance, it's beyond my reach.
Is it the general economy? Because last I heard,
the economic fall off has been significant, but. Oh, my God, you're even worse. Ron and Raleigh says, necrophiliacs, they beat the others cold. Oh, that's awful.
I think we've got the lawyers from Pepsi on the line there. That's their old slogan.
It's to beat the others cold. Pepsi pours it on. Remember those?
No, that's before my time, mercifully. So is Nickel 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 Saves a Lot.
Yeah, Pepsi Cola hits the spot. Anyway, my mother used to sing that to me when she...
That stuff really stuck in that generation's head.
She couldn't find the bottle, the empty Pepsi bottle to slug me over the head with for my nap. Nap time!
Growing up, I heard so-and-so has more such-and-such than Carter has little liver pills.
Yes, Carter's little pills. They had to stop calling them liver pills. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, what was that? Wasn't that was a diuretic or a laxative or a both?
I have no idea. I never took them.
Not as pills. They were teeny tiny little things, as I recall, because I didn't mean to bring up Aunt Effie, but she used to use sal hepatica and Carter's little pills, swore by them.
Well, sal hepatica sounds like some sort of cell salt sort of thing.
Yeah.
My mom was big into cell salts. And they always had weird names like, you know, Ars Turnipa. I don't
Another
know.
Another name I used to like was a men's fragrance, Lilac Vegetal. Did we ever talk about Lilac Vegetal?
No.
You can get it, actually, if you Google Lilac Vegetal, just like it sounds. You can get you a bottle of it that stands about 12 inches high and just dab a little behind each ear. Now, it worked better when you were Bob because I think it's a men's... what are you doing over there?
Me? Nothing.
Okay, I just heard an odd sound.
Oh, that's just the squeaky chair.
Well, we're going to have to get you a chair that don't squeak, Robin. Lilac Vegetal. Yes, indeed. I swear by it. But it, what was I?
The Vegetal portion of it makes me think it smells like Brussels sprouts.
No, it's been years since I've had any. Somebody got me some for a dad gift once. Because I used to, I won't go into why I used to, but, tell me not to, Robin, or I'll do it.
Don't do it, Scott.
Don't do it. Just don't do not do it. But anyway, I'm rambling. I do this. Why do I do this? Why do I do this? I don't know. But anyway, I've lost my train of thought.
Well, I've got some interesting news via our pal Kevin in Massachusetts.
Now, is this going to make me angry?
No, this is going to make you happy. This isn't quite an... Well, subject's about the size of an elephant, but FBI executes search warrant at Trump's Mar-a-Lardass, former president says.
Breaking?
Yes, this story is breaking and will be updated. The FBI executed a search warrant on Monday at Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lardass resort in Palm Beach, Florida, the former president confirms to CNN.
Sing hallelujah, come on, get happy. All right.
And dipping back into the bygone days of yore, Kevin adds, the FBI in color.
Yes, a Quinn Martin production.
With Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. Yeah, still remember those days, Kevin says. This is serious stuff, let's hope. Stoke the stroke, y'all. Stoke the stroke.
Does the warrant have to say what they're looking for?
Warrants generally do.
But we don't know yet.
They have to state the things to be sought. I mean, it's actually constitutional language. Of course, it's been modified. It's been modified over the years and with the rise in technology, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But,
did he come out? They make him come out in his underwear like that other guy?
No, they had a little bit more regard for common decency. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particular, and this is the language that you were asking about, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So So maybe big box of presidential shit that doesn't belong in Mar-a-Lard-ass and actually belongs to the people of the United States of America that was illegally carried away when Nitwit Nero fled Washington. You know, that's pretty specific.
Probably devices that have information about election night going forward to January 6th. I would think that those are...
That's a possibility.
What else? If I were the FBI, what would I want?
I would want devices. Definitely. I'd want papers and effects.
Memos.
Yes, anything relating to, say, January 6th. I mean, think about what's been said. I mean, if you really want to play the guessing game, think about what's been said in the J6 hearings about communications with him, and you might come up with a pretty solid list.
Yeah. Well, good for them. Good for the FBI. Let me give them an ovation. It's...
Well, but and remember, based on what we previously heard, for them to have done that, it had to have been approved at the Merrick Garland level.
Did they come in at the crack of dawn?
Well, not based on the, the former president confirmed to CNN, so.
So he was already up if they did come early. Well, I'm very happy to hear that. And the only downside to that is now he's going to rant and rave and go on all his little shows and talk about how unfair. It's a witch hunt. Well, I got news. Sometimes you find an occasional witch. You know?
Yeah. And and sometimes the witch is like 6'4", 300 pounds, the color of a circus peanut.
Demented circus peanut.
I mean, am I wrong?
Eating KFC with a knife and fork.
Or a Taco Bell, if it's May.
Yeah. I think it's something worth waiting for. I hate waiting for anything, okay? But I like that thing about the wheels of justice grinding slowly. Sometimes they do, but if that ensures getting it right with an airtight, solid case, then I'm willing to wait. So, Merrick and the rest of you, do not fuck it up, boys. This is too important because, who was it, Holderman or Ehrlichman, was talking back during the Watergate days saying that, you know, you want to aim carefully and don't overreach. Because if you aim incorrectly and either miss or not hit what you're trying to point at, then that gives the other side a false sense of security because they think that you're off your game and have fucked it up. So, yes, I have a feeling, though, that with the Justice Department as it currently is constituted, they dotted many I's and crossed many T's. And like I say, I'm willing to wait. I know a lot of people have been upset saying, come on, are we there yet? And well, apparently we're just pulling up now in one aspect of the case. And there's a lot more. Now, let me ask you this. Now, see, I'm glad this news broke today and that I'm on the line with you. Because... what is this? The timing of this is in conjunction with having gotten their ducks in a row, ideally. And it's, what we know about Garland is he doesn't move, he doesn't make any rash moves, as near as I can figure. So is this indicative of now is the time, and you, like the Pants Pressers Union in New Orleans said when they had a work stoppage, strike while the iron is hot, boys, strike while the iron is hot. But doesn't this suggest that the Ducks are in a row to some extent? And that there may be developments that come out of this that are going to be game-changing, hopefully. And say more. Let me quote Mueller. Say more. Are you still there, or am I talking?
Been here the whole time. Yes.
Oh, okay. You're just waiting for me to shut up. Is that
well? Right? No, I'm just. I was looking at something actually. Earlier, I was talking about the fact that Alex Jones doesn't seem to be too terribly contrite.
Are you surprised?
Well, no, but I hope that adds a little bit of urgency to what goes on up in Connecticut, because he's got a couple more trials to face. And he pogo-sticked up onto the cross a couple of days ago. And, today, after having the judgments entered against him, of course, he did what, and it's exactly what I said, well, you know, that just didn't happen. So we get this. Get the hockey puck. And again, if you're waiting for contrition, you're going to get very old waiting a very long time.
I mean, I've seen rigged courts. I've seen a judge tell a jury I'm already guilty. I've seen them order them to give them money. I don't have. But I tell you, it has been actually invigorating and buoying in a way, bittersweet. Because I've seen everybody from Steve Bannon to Charlie Kirk to Jack Posobiec to you name it, thousands of prominent people, hundreds of really big folks, come out and say, hey, this is for all of us. They're coming after us all now. And I have really seen the Republican Party go from us with an insurrection, not the one on January 6th, but the peaceful insurrection, to take over the Republican Party 5-6 years ago, to now we are the Republican Party and our populist movement is winning. So, yes, I'm being punished. Yes, I'm being attacked, but I expect that.
You got that?
Well, there's never been a more self-serving statement ever made lately. I mean,
and so Marginal Trailer Queen in Dallas at the Conservative Political Action Conference said, what we're tired of is the political persecution. Democrats, the liars in the media, and the people that canceled all of you and me going to pay us millions of dollars. Because she's being persecuted. She's one of the biggest money raisers in Congress, but she's being persecuted, right? And then there's Wendy Rogers of Arizonistan. She got on Telegram to say, it's wrong what they did to Alex Jones. He should be able to criticize the official story anytime he wants. I hope he appeals the verdicts because the kangaroo courts already made him guilty before the trials started. Americans should help cover his bills. Sick of censorship. So in her world, people are free to just, at the behest of a guy with a microphone and a reach, they should be free to encourage stochastic terrorism against parents grieving the slaughter of their children. Yay, America. Oh, even the freedom, worse, Scott.
Even worse, Robin, is he wasn't merely doing that. He was saying it never happened. It was all a staged event with crisis reenactors, or what was the term that he used?
Crisis actors.
Crisis actors. You know? Well, this is why I don't like to even give air or well, I will acknowledge what some of these people say.
But I won't make an issue of it. I will put it in its proper context. They know what they've done. They've got to know what they're up to. You know, they know what they've done. They know what their playbook looks like. They know what their goals are. And they don't like being called out when we catch them at it. See, I think that to the extent that that the media and politicians and commentators are straight ahead with the truth and upfront with it and just lay it out there, that helps more than it hurts. Because unless you call them on this bullshit, I mean, it's not going to change what they're thinking and what they're doing and their enablers and their supporters and their amen corner or whatever. No, you're never going to get through to any of them. But the rest of us who also have a stake in how things play out eventually, you know, ultimately and ongoingly, the truth will serve you well, but you've got to speak it and you've got to repeat that for those of them on drugs, you know, who are a little slow on the uptake.
Well, you know, truth. And I mean, the fact of the matter is he is free to criticize the official story, but there's a difference between criticizing the official story and sicking your hordes of ravening, bloodthirsty, gunned up idiots on a pair of grieving parents. Those are two wildly different things. And Darlene in Connecticut points out and says, no, he's only 275 pounds and a perfect physical specimen. For sure, Darlene adds, the FBI is under the DOJ's auspices. Director Ray would only act on Garland's orders because, you know, Director Ray, about fucking time. Former president, how about former squatter in the White House? How about former dictator wannabe? Alex Jones's BS hits close to home in Connecticut. I would expect nothing less for Connecticut courts and jury to throw the book at that bastard. Well, I hope they can, but the problem is, until something is done about the bankruptcy, the trial may very well stay on hold.
Who was that group a couple of years ago that did an in-depth report, and I think it aired on Frontline a couple of years ago, about the vast sums of money that are underwriting these various enterprises, not just in this country, but globally. And I think there was even a film that, was it Meryl Streep was in it? The Panama Papers or something along those lines?
Oh, yeah, the Panama Papers, yeah.
But the people have a right to know what's behind these efforts and these organizations. And if you've got some guy sitting there in a studio, what, in Dallas or Austin, where does he work? Alex Jones in Austin, Texas?
Yeah.
Pumping this shit out and literally terrorizing the survivors of the children and adults who were killed at Sandy Hook. And it's all based in nothing. It's all based in we can say it and we don't apologize. That behavior needs to be called to account. Those people engaging in that behavior need to either prove the validity of what they're saying, and since they can't, not only should the book be thrown at them, but the press that the book was printed on needs to be dropped from a great height onto them. See, I wouldn't make a very good judge because I'm somewhat prejudiced. But you get what I'm saying.
I most assuredly do.
I'm for freedom of speech, but even freedom of speech has limits.
Well, that's, freedom of speech only applies to government action. Come on. I mean,
right. Well,
you know, nobody is, there's no government telling Alex Jones he can't say what he says. But we do have legal structures in place that provide consequences for saying things that are particularly odious.
Well, that's what I meant.
Scarlett Lewis and Neil Heslin, the two grieving parents of Jesse Lewis, they are not public figures. They did not seek to be public figures. Alex Jones made them public figures. and rode their backs for money.
He targeted them. Let's call it what it is. It's terrorism and it's targeting to enrich himself and to delude and fool the people that underwrite his efforts. I mean, from where I'm sitting, that's what was taking place. Again, I'm a little prejudiced. I have a strong feeling in my red, white, and blue heart for reality-based reality, and he wasn't trafficking in that, not by a damn sight.
No, and nor do any of the others. You know, he mentioned Jack Prosobitch, and he mentioned Steve Bannon. But, you know, the rest of them. I saw a tweet. Our buddy John in Central PA sent a tweet along to me from a guy who said, on August the 1st, said, "Today is the 34th year anniversary of Rush Limbaugh being on the national radio. I was a huge fan who never missed a show. I've tried to listen to others, but I just can't. I thought I was addicted to conservative radio. The truth is, I was addicted to him."
Well, we can arrange a meeting. What's this guy's name? Give him a can of pineapple and send him on his way.
That's some cat named Miles Commodore.
Miles with a Y?
No, Miles with an I.
Oh, well, that's too bad. If he was really serious about having a frilly name, he would put a Y in there. Miles Commodore in the news.
No. And it is, I mean, it's such a bot account.
Now, see, that's another thing. Don't even get me started on the...
I mean, his bio simply says, American. 122,000 following, 155,000 following him. And by the way, Eileen just shared the Nitwit Nero News. This is good. The FBI is raiding Mara Sleaso. Breaking news, MSNBC. And Kevin told me that, yeah, they raided Mara Lardass while he was up in New York at his high-rise hillbilly palace.
I thought he swore never to go back to New York.
Oopsie.
Wow.
Maybe he got a tip. Maybe that was a reason he was in New York.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me, because there are, I think we learned from the, what was that show on, that series, brief movie series on Showtime, I guess it was, the Comey, what was it, can't think of his name, Jeff Daniels played Comey. You know the movie I'm talking about. I'm sure you watched it.
No, I did. I don't have Showtime.
Oh. Well, you can get it for, you got Amazon?
Yeah, but not for free.
Well, you only need to have it for long enough to watch the three or four episodes. Anyway, it was very good. It was quite good, as a matter of fact. I may rewatch it because, and the guy that they had playing Trump, back when Comey and Trump had dinner, just the two of them. Oh, it's worth it. If you want, I'll send you the $8.99, and you can subscribe for a couple of days. Definitely watch that.
Oh, believe you me, every penny that comes in is going to bills for the foreseeable future.
Well, again, let's see if we can't turn that around somewhat. So what is your ultimate decision on going video? I mean, I see this.
Well, I feel like I have to. I just don't want to.
What will it involve in terms of your physical plant, your studio? Won't you have to?
Oh, it's gonna necessitate a massive overhaul.
And that, see, it's one thing to stream audio, but when you start streaming video, I mean, that's a pricey proposition, isn't it? Unless you get a deal. I don't know. I'm just curious. Radio seemed to survive pretty well without pictures for some decades. And even now, when you turn on like KNX, the CBS news station in Los Angeles, you don't, I haven't checked it lately, but I don't think that they've got cameras on the anchors doing reading the news. I can't think of anything more boring than the only time radio with pictures ever worked for me. And you, I know you don't like the person whose name I'm about to mention, but back when C-SPAN, when Congress was on a recess and they would go to radio, national radio shows and simulcast, and the, a couple of times they did IMUS. That was entertaining, not just the on-the-air part, but the bullshit and the shtick off the air was almost as good as the, you know, the stuff that the public heard. But otherwise, it's a snooze fest. I, you know.
Well, welcome to modern media, because it isn't.
Well, the only time my show was...
I mean, you know, we were talking about Racist Bannon a little bit ago. That was a split screen of him talking into a microphone and Alex Jones talking into a microphone.
Yeah, well, I just... And if they wore costumes, period costumes, that might be, you know, that might...
Curiously, we have a period costume story in the stack. But we also have a little bit more detail now about the raid. Nitwit Nero broke the news. He said they searched Mar-a-Lardass, his private club and residence in Palm Beach.
And they broke up in a safe. They broke up in a fucking safe.
The search, the New York Times reports, appeared to be focused on material that Mr. Trump had brought with him to Mar-a-Lardass after he left the White House, according to two people familiar with the investigation.
Material could be gifts that were undeclared and also documents, right?
It's boxes and boxes of documents that he carried out of the White House.
Yeah, they were supposed to go to the archives.
Yeah, I don't think the three-legged moss-covered family credenza was what they were after. Darlene says, the guy who's man-crushing on Rush Limbaugh reminds me of the scene from the Blues Brothers I sent you last week. I've always loved you. Seems to always wind down to that, doesn't it? Well, it kind of does. Yeah, it does.
Well, anything to just cause his sphincter to tighten to the extent that it can and to put him on edge and to upset him is aces with me.
Plus, yeah, you're talking stoke the stroke, sure.
Yeah, well.
Oh, and by the way, let me run over to the, you stay where you are. I'm going to run over to the stress line and see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Hey, Tracy. How are you?
Oh, I'm just tired. I mean,
Say hi to Scott.
I heard, hi, Scott.
Hey, Tracy.
Is it really necessary? Did I really have to say hello? Well, do I have... Okay. Do you really want me to answer that question?
I wish you would. I'll shut up.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, no.
You haven't...
No, it's not that I have a blue moon Monday. I just have... I'm leaving Tuesday night. Jen and I are leaving Tuesday night for Panama. And I'm just... I still need to work because I work for myself. So I got to work. But I just dropped off. Today's my airport day, and I dropped off not far from my house. So cool at home. But then I got to figure out, you know, Jen's like, well, you're not going to go back to the airport, are you? I'm like, well, probably will. But, you know, I'm just trying desperately to be enthusiastic. Well, because for one thing, I had ordered all these clothes to take on vacation 2 weeks ago with expedited shipping. They haven't arrived.
No.
And they won't arrive until Wednesday. So, well, I didn't know because I called these people and because there's this store called Ashley Stewart. And it's, I don't know if it's owned by a black woman, but it, all the models are, larger size black women. And so it is definitely a store for the women who are not petite. So they have bathing suits and cheap dresses and stuff for me to wear on vacation. Well, I got none of that. So now I had to go scrambling to find stuff to wear. And so I'm just a little disheartened. I mean, everybody's like, well, you're going on vacation. I understand. Or somebody, or just buy stuff when you get there. The problem is I am not a average size person. So I can't take the chance of buying, of hoping to find stuff in my size in a foreign country. I don't know what the average size is for the average Panamanian.
Well, do you even know how they size them there?
That's what I'm saying. I have no fucking clue. So I ran around today before, to take stuff back, pick my stuff. So I bought two bags of stuff from Old Navy. Now, have I tried any of this stuff on? No, because that's another thing. I refuse to try shit on in public, in the dressing room, because it's already depressing about what size I am. So I really need to depress myself even further if I get a really large size and it's either it fits or I look like, Ahmed the tip maker, or it's just, yeah. And I should be happy today, right?
Well, you should, but you kind of had a rough weekend. I was just reading an alert that came across that, I guess, what prosecutors have said that the woman in the Mercedes in L.A. was doing over 100 miles an hour when she wiped out six people.
Killed six. And I drove, because like I told you when we spoke the other day, I drive through that, and that's, I'm still kind of recovering from that. I drive through that intersection. I drove through that intersection not long before it happened. And so today I drove by to see the memorial, and I just kind of burst into tears, because that could have been me, and I would have had children in my car. I would have had one young man and twin sisters, including me. And the reports are still coming in that when she made impact with the car, with the four people in the one car that she murdered, the baby got flung from the car. He got ejected. And pretty much everybody that was in the car, because the impact was just that intense. And so, as like I said today, and I think I'm just in a mood because I didn't want to deal with the idiots that travel and come here without a car seat for their child. And I just, I just didn't feel like getting into it with them about it is against, after what I heard about and damn near witnessed that could have happened to me, there will be, no, I don't care if you're going to the fucking moon and back and are going to give me the tip that would choke King Solomon. You are not getting in my cab. If you have a child that is under 8 years old and they don't have a car seat or they don't have a booster, not doing it, I don't care.
What? Okay. And so, just the background on that, you weren't on the anything. You were on a city street. And this idiot in this Mercedes was doing over 100 miles an hour on an L.A. city street on the same weekend that Anne Heche apparently decides to get her drunk on. And what's the name of that community? Right. Mar Vista?
Mar Vista.
And decides to go howling and destroyed a house.
And if she was where I think she was, there's a wide... So if she was on Walgrove is a very narrow street. So Walgrove winds in between the Santa Monica Airport and Lincoln. So it's east of Lincoln and west of the Santa Monica Airport. And it's windy and it's narrow and there's some sharp turns and maybe a blind turn or two. And if you are going too fast, you're gonna fuck up. Because the speed limit actually on that street is probably about 20. I think it might be 30 miles an hour. Yeah, but that stopped people. So apparently she hit an apartment building wall before she hit this woman's house and literally destroyed it. The woman has no house. No house.
Yeah, what was it?
And
50,
the fact that
54 LAFD.
But, yeah, I mean, it's, I guess I'm having this a crisis of what I mean, this job has kept me, was able to get me through college, and it's going to help me finish and get my master's. But it is, I am just kind of over, sort of kind of freaked out, Robin, about just the likelihood, because like Jad always says, I'm not worried about your driving, baby. I'm not worried about your driving. I'm worried about the asshole, like this bitch that, you know, and I don't know if they still haven't said whether or not she was, you know, under the influence. They haven't released that information as of yet. But she got a $9 million bill. Now, my question is, and I don't know if this woman was black, but I just know she's a traveling nurse from Houston. I have no idea. But my question is, if Anne Heche was fucking drunk, why is that bitch not in jail? Or at least, you know, arraigned or something. Was she even arrested? Because you sure as fuck they arrested. So that's, it stands to reason that old girl that killed those people, she was probably black.
Well, Shorty in L.A. Said that Tracy, that crash was Slauson and what?
On La Brea.
Apparently
Slauson, La Brea, and Windsor Hills. Shorty said,
Shorty said she's a freaking nurse.
Yeah, that's what I said. She's a traveling nurse from Houston.
That beats
that
all.
Part.
That beats all.
Well, I've only been to Houston once back in the 80s, and they now Texas, they drive like they're crazy down by Houston.
Oh, they do. But, you know, it's interesting. When you first told me Slauson, and I know Scott's mind has already gone there, sooner or later, LA, everything in L.A. will prove to have been a reference that Johnny Carson once used. Yeah. Who? You know, said the younger one. You know, you go to the Slauson cutoff, and you get out of your car and cut off your Slauson.
Yeah,
wasn't that the way it went, Scott?
Yeah, exactly. And then keep going until you get to the fork in the road. Anyway, well, this woman in the Mercedes, Tracy, was she being pursued or was she just in a hurry?
No. I mean, the bottom line is, regardless, I don't care if she was being chased by every demon from the bowels of motherfucking hell. She was going 100 miles an hour on southbound. Because I was telling Robin the other day, that is, so when you're coming, it's at the least she was heading south. So you're going downhill. So you got to watch your speed anyway when you're heading on Slauson. I mean, on south of La Brea. And even when you're heading west, if you're heading west on Slauson, because it is downhill. So you have to be very, very careful. And it's very congested in that, you know, like I said, I have had several fucking near misses. Several near misses in that intersection because of people thinking they're, you know, y'all, we don't have the Indy 5, was it 5,000 or whatever? That shit don't play. We don't have that shit in L.A. So, but they're, you know, you got these fools with the little hopped up, you know, Asian cars, and it's just, or just people, I got a really huge Mercedes or what have you, so I'm just going to run the way, but the from what I understand from people who recounted what happened, it wasn't like the light had just turned red. No. The light had been red for her. The traffic going up and down Slauson was moving. And she hit cars that were in, she went through a crowded, ongoing intersection. The fact that, and God help me, that only six people died. I don't know if anybody else was injured. I can't imagine how there could not have been. But the fact that only six people died, and so four were in the same car. It was a mother who was pregnant. They were just either coming from or on their way to her maternity checkup, pregnancy checkup, her son, who was 11 months old, and his birthday was going, he was going to turn a year old this week. And her baby, and the baby's father, her pregnant, not the, her, the 11 month old, but the baby she was pregnant with. So at this instance, you fucking crazy evangelicals, at this instance, they will be considering that baby as a person, and she will be charged on that count with four counts right there of manslaughter. And then she killed a person that was standing on the sidewalk, 66-year-old man. There is yet another person who died that they haven't disclosed who they are, sex, age, nationality, nothing. So we don't know about the sixth person who was killed. I believe that they were in another car, and that car caught up. They were consumed by the flames in that car. So, like I said, today was just, I can't do this today. I just, you know, yes, I need
just
to work.
Wanna
yes,
nope.
I need
just
the money.
Just kind of want to nope out of everything.
It's just today, nope. It's just, nope. I don't want no bullshit. I don't want, you know, today I just kind of want to be left alone. I might go back to the airport later. Else, the other thing, traffic was so horrific today that no. So I don't know, but I'm trying to be happy that I'm going to Panama. I should be ecstatic. I should be over the moon. But I can't get out of my head about these people that were they're just going about their own business. And I think that's the issue. This is the problem that I'm having, because I pretty much work 7 days a week. You know, I mean, fortunately, it's not like I work 12-hour days. I don't even work 8-hour days typically, but I'm pretty much in my car, in my van, 7 days a week. And what freaks me out too about the accident, I can't help but wonder. Because they said that the baby was ejected from the car, but I didn't hear them say that he was in his car seat. So that troubles me even more so, that wondering if that child was even in the car seat in the first place. Because if that was the case, if the parents survived, that would be a whole nother situation. If that child was not in the car seat.
But the whole thing, but the whole thing makes you just want to treat your home as a cave, go in, shut the door, not come out.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of where Scott is.
Or get the swizzle stick and just get the bottle of vodka. But I did call with some happy news, and I'm going to say shit about transgender people. So fuck all y'all who have an issue with it. And I said it. So today in Long Beach, the city, I don't know if it's the school board or the city council, they are proposing gender neutral locker rooms. I don't remember if it was, I think it was at the high, I just know it's in Long Beach. I don't know if it was a particular school or just throughout high schools and middle schools in Long Beach. But the proposal is that they'll have, gender neutral dressing rooms, locker rooms, and then they'll have changing, separate changing areas, so people will feel more comfortable about it, not being outed, or if they're not ready to, if you're transitioning or whatever the case may be. But of course, they're losing their minds over that, and they haven't even, it's just a proposal. And then we have the idiots in San Clemente that was trying to do, San Clemente's gonna be an abortion free zone. And of course, the people in Sacramento that had sense was like, fuck what you think you're going through, because it was so, well, I believe that, you know, life begins at conception. What is it?
Fertilization.
At fertilization. Well, okay, if you can have a viable fertilized egg, go for it. So the people with sense in Sacramento
actually, where we're headed, Tracy, is life begins at the Woody.
Yeah, pretty much. Life begins at the Woody. And I just... So I have these, I get these moments of joy. And then I heard that the app, while I was on hold, that the, you know, the orange shit stain, that his place got raided by the FBI. And it's like, for some, you know, at least they're finally doing something, you know, like they're supposed to do. Oh, and speaking of the federal government.
And that's one thing that we should note. It's entirely possible that his possession of those items being carried away was in itself a federal crime.
That part. And speaking of federal crimes, the three assholes that killed Ahmaud Arbery were convicted for federal hate crime.
And by the way, a judge has already rejected one of them's plea to be sent to federal prison.
Right, because that's what the father said. Y'all didn't give my son any mercy when you chased him down and shot him. So fuck what you're going through with mercy. Where was the mercy for my child? How about that? These assholes. So that, you know, it's still too little. Because I did hear something that there may be federal charges on the Breonna Taylor case. That's a civil rights violation.
Oh, yeah, those charges have already been lodged.
Right. So, I mean, and of course, like you said, nothing like that can happen unless Merrick Garland gives it the okay, say yes.
Precisely.
When it comes to stuff, okay, so... I'm still not excited about Merrick, again, because I'm a black woman and I'm still waiting for police reform.
I don't think you can use excited and Merrick Garland in the same sentence. Dictionaries would spontaneously combust. But you were talking about good news. I saw this the other day and I thought it was good news. It's fantastic news, actually. Minnesota had done this previously. California catching up. SB 107 has passed out of committee in California with an 11-4 vote, making California a safe haven for trans family refugees fleeing Texas, Alabama, and Florida. For trans teens who flee to California, no medical cooperation by California, no extradition, no release of info, and no out-of-state child custody removals. So if parent A, who loves their kid, flees to California, and parent B, back in, say, Texas, sues to get custody back, California goes, fuck you. Fuck you, you transphobic piece of shit.
I would say that, once again, California has suggested to the rest of the world that there is much to recommend this place. We do get things right.
Oh, yeah.
When given the chance.
Oh, I'd love to figure out a way to get out there and...
Crazy, irresponsible drivers notwithstanding, we do get some things right. And here's my prescription. I'm not a doctor, Tracy, but I'm writing on my little prescription pad this prescription for you and for Jan. Get packed. Get on the plane or the boat, whatever it is. Go to where you're going. Bye. And have a wonderful time. This is you time. This is Jan Tom.
Well, I plan on it. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm happy about this. I think once I get to the airport, I'll be fine. Because since, you know, I saved my money and all this sort of stuff, we're flying first class.
Oh, boy.
Depending on the plane, it's either going to be first class or business class. But anywho, either way, we get entree, free entree, into American Airlines Admirals Club, where they have food and drinks and drinks. And plus, since we're in, you know, business first class, last first class, we get, you know,
leg room.
The international flight. Leg room. I'm not even worried about the leg room. Fuck, we get free alcohol.
Oh, I
on
see.
On the plane because it's an international flight.
I see many colorful and tasty beverages with paper umbrellas in your future, Tracy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and we're staying in an all-inclusive resort. And I'm not a big drinker. Never have been. But just the idea of knowing that I don't have to pay for my drinks because drink alcohol is included. And we have a mini bar in our room that and we can empty it every single day if we want. Because it will be restocked.
Two words. Sitting down there in that tropical heat, two words. Singapore Sling.
Okay. You got it. I've been taking lists. I've been taking requests of, like, what's everybody's favorite tropical drink? So you said Singapore. See, Tracy and her list. Singapore Sling. Yes. Okay. Scott, you got anything? And not Captain Morgan.
No. It's been so long since I've really drunk a lot. I would think anything with do you like pineapple juice? I'm sure they could come up with something. Because a cocktail has to have three ingredients. Am I correct on that?
At least.
Yeah. So something with pineapple juice. If you're a rum drinker, something with rum. And something else to liven it up a little bit.
There's pineapple juice in a Singapore Sling.
Well, there you go.
What is it? Isn't there a blue drink, a drink with blue booze in it? I can't think of the name of the booze. It's colored blue.
It's blue Curacao. Don't drink
Curacao.
It.
Blue Curacao. Don't drink it. Don't do it. I have to boogie, but you know, I will definitely probably call y'all from Panama and just say, hey, all that good shit. But I love you guys. You be good and we will talk later.
Travel safely. Send me a text or something. Let me know when you get there. Okay.
I will, baby. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Have fun, Tracy. Bye.
And that pretty much brings us to the end of the program.
That's your roving horn correspondent, international
yes.
Globetrotter.
And by the way, I had a message from our pal Tara Devlin.
Hey, Tara.
She said with the news of the search warrant, she said, this is the greatest day in American history. I'm absolutely giddy. Fucking traitor, you know they have the goods on him if they took this step. Thank God. The day they lock his ass up should become a national holiday. Not a lot to fight. Not a lot to fight with Taro on the over with that. No.
No. Just think, years from now, families could gather around the old picnic table in the backyard once this is accomplished, and have parties in celebration each year of the day justice was done.
And the fact, and you know, I'm just after all these years, I'm sensitized to all this shit. You know, so many Nazis. Love Donald Trump. You know, remember August the 17th, August of 2017, rather?
Oh, yeah.
But today, on the calendar, today is 8-8. And 8-8 is special to Nazis.
Yes,
American Nazis, because H is the eighth letter in the alphabet, and when they write 88 to each other, it's their way of saying,
yeah, with the arm outstretched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so gets raided on 8-8?
Well, I think holiday appropriation is a viable thing. I don't have any problem with it and for a good cause, you know? I think there's a lot of holidays we could take back.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, in terms of context, Billable Rick says why Trump was in New York today. Y'all need to recall that Trump hosted a live golf tournament at Bedminster, his golf course, last week of July. So I guess he decided to stay at Trump Tower while he was in the general vicinity to ensure that Melanoma was comfortable in her gold-encrusted pit in the tower. Wait a minute.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
I was just going to say, does he lower the basket? Oh, God, I got to stop calling.
Also, the FBI may have timed the raid to coincide with when Nitwit Nero was out of town. Can you imagine all the food that Trump would have thrown at the FBI agents executing the search warrant?
Oh, God. Would have only been a start.
Oh, he would have been yanking tablecloths all over the place.
Yikes. Well, the story will develop, and I will be on the edge of my chair just cheering our forces of light forward in their efforts.
Hear, hear.
I'm going to send a balloon bouquet to Merrick Garland.
Here, I don't know. Is the International Star Registry still a going concern, Scott? Let's name star after Merrick.
There you go. There you go. I think you got something there. Well, anyway, you're right. I see the old clock on the wall, and I'm glad we had this time to chat. And it was so good to hear from Tracy, and I'm so glad that she's going to be able to kick back for a little bit.
Yeah.
And soak her troubles away in a mud bath or whatever it is that they do down in Panama.
Calgon, take me away.
Indeed. All right, Robin. And Horn family, it's nice that you're there.
Isn't it just?
Indeed it is.
Well, you have a lovely afternoon. I will have a dandy good evening.
Well, tonight is the penultimate episode of Better Call Saul. The title of the episode is Waterworks. And no spoilers, but I'll give you a broad hint. If you look at the Monopoly board, Waterworks is only two spaces away from Go to Jail.
Oh, my.
Could be interesting.
I love the way you go searching for meaning throughout your day.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Well, Scott, you have a good one.
I will, Robin. You too, and Horn family, you have a good time too. And Tracy, travel safely, you and Jen, and I want you to have a scrumptious time. I want you to have such a good time that we all wished we were there.
Yes, I want to hear about Singapore slings in the tropical sun.
Indeed. All righty. See ya.
See you, Scott. And so that's Moran Monday, and my goodness, it was jam-packed. We've got some Titanic intellect already backing up for Titanic Tuesday. This evening turned out to be a goose egg, despite the fact that there was a $25 500,000 pod bean downloads challenge, courtesy of Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs. And maybe Mondays are just kind of slow. I don't know. But anyway, back for Titanic Tuesday tomorrow, I hope. And I hope you'll be here as well. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thanks for a great Friday last week. It was much appreciated. So tomorrow we will be at $930, unless Ralph's challenge gets met, as we struggle to keep this little operation alive. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, earlier in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice, and now a proud union shop doing things that no other group can do to bring some measure of accountability to these coal companies that wreak such devastation on an entire region of the United States. Please stay safe. Learn about monkeypox. Keep an eye on polio. God, the list is getting longer. Get your booster for COVID. Wear your mask. Suddenly the mask just seems like a generally good idea. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Maintain your social distance. 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And if somebody comes towards you talking about, they took away Alex Jones's free speech. Avoid that Arizonan like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.